John chapter 16 in your Bibles. That's where we're going to be for the most part here tonight, from John chapter 16. The title of the message is Perfect Peace. Perfect Peace. I'll tell you what, I greatly appreciated the message this morning. And as he pointed out from 1 Peter, they're casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I'm going to be alluding to that passage tonight as well. But perfect peace, that's really all that it's about. You could take this morning's message and plug it in tonight, and we'd be good to go home right now. That is what perfect peace is about. It's casting all your care upon him. No matter whether things are good when you're on the mountaintop or whether you're in a valley, it doesn't change. Either way, we need to be casting all of our care upon him. But we're looking at John chapter 16 tonight, not 1 Peter. And so if you're there with me, let's look at verses 31 down through the end of the chapter, verse 33. It says, Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come. Pay attention to the words here. I think it's somewhat significant, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Amen.
Perfect peace. In the morning hours of September 11th, 2001, my life as a young boy, it was changed dramatically. Personally, not so much, but our nation would never forget that morning. History was changed. Something drastic happened as the World Trade Towers in New York City were hit by airplanes, the Pentagon as well, and a plane that also went down in the Pennsylvania field. You know, I look back at that and remember a myriad of responses to that morning, many different responses. Some were in shock. Some were in panic. Many were simply grieving.
Yes.
But I remember sensing a very real presence as a young boy of peace. And that's thanks to my parents and to grandparents who knew God was ultimately in control. That's where that peace was coming from their faith in God. And I was a young boy then, but I'm not anymore. And what we're facing today is similar. It's not the exact same. There are different unknowns, different concerns with the situation, different locations, a different generation for sure. But I remind you that the peace which is available is not different.
Right.
It's the same peace that was available back in September of 2001. The God in charge is not different. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. It's the peace of God which passeth all understanding, all comprehension, all human limits. That's the peace that we're talking about here tonight. I'd like to jump into the message, but let's pray. There's a lot of things in my heart and mind tonight, and so let's pray for God's guidance here. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help me tonight to preach exactly what you have me to say. Lord, guide my words and my thoughts that they may be exactly what we as a church need. Lord, I pray that you'd keep me from saying what I should not say and help me to say what I need to say. Father, I pray that you would open each heart, both those who are here tonight and those who are joining via live stream. Lord, that you would open hearts to be receptive for what you have for us. And I pray that your word would minister to our hearts and that we would leave here tonight perhaps just being strengthened in our understanding and our knowledge of the peace that you can bring. Help us, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Why do we need peace? Ask yourself that question tonight. Why do I need peace? What produces anxiety in my life? What produces a lack of peace in my heart, in my mind, in my innermost being? What produces a lack of peace? Well, our first thought would be, perhaps right now and today, well, sickness, or financial troubles, broken relationships, unknown things about the future, and you know, what's going to happen with the stock market? What's going to happen with food? Am I going to be able to get my food that I need for next week? Am I going to make it through the end of the year financially? What's going to happen? Perhaps we would think of those things as the reason for anxiety, the reason for a lack of peace. But I would challenge you that these things, although legitimate, are not what take away peace from our heart and lives. What brings anxiety and fear? Well, I think there's a couple things that we see here in the passage, first of which, this might seem somewhat surprising to you, but I believe that this is a primary reason, and that is being alone. Being alone, a sense of being alone produces fear. Verse 32, look at verse 32. He says, "The hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own." Jesus, in his understanding and in his, he's God, in his foreknowledge, he understood the fact that the disciples were going to face fear because they were going to be scattered. They were going to be alone, sense that they were alone. This produces fear for each one of us. When we feel all on our own, when we feel that feeling of vulnerability, our response naturally is to fear. And I'll tell you, the only way a Christian will feel this way is if there is some area, some reason that we are not close to Christ. When we are not close to Christ, we will sense this feeling of fear. Someone has said, faith is not the absence of fear, but it is the presence of a stronger trust in a greater God. And friends, when we do not have that stronger trust in a greater God, when we do not have the reality of His presence right there next to us, we will be overwhelmed by fear.
That's good.
The fear is here, no matter what. We can't take that away. It's all around us. We go to the grocery store, you can see it on people's face. It's like the elephant in the room. It is there. And we can't get rid of that. But I'll tell you what, when you trust God, and that is greater than the fear around you, the fear will be gone. Because the peace of God passes that fear. It overwhelms that fear, and it fills your heart. The disciples here in our passage were being scattered, everyone to his own, and were going to fear. Jesus knew that. They were going to have that sense of fear, and his challenge was to them, don't be afraid. In verse 32, Jesus goes on to say, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. And he would tell them later on that he was leaving them, but a greater than him was coming. The Spirit, the Comforter, was coming to be in them. And friends, I'm here to tell you that tonight, the Holy Spirit of God, as a child of God, lives within you. And the peace of God, because Jesus, the Father is with Jesus, and Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, lives within you, that peace should be available and is available for each one of us here tonight. And the only reason we will not sense that peace is when there's some area or some reason that we are separated from God. Perhaps a sin. Perhaps just a carelessness. Perhaps a passivity where we just have gotten passive in our walk with God. I'm telling you, friends, there is no better time for us to be focusing on this, the reality of our need for God's Word, our need for prayer, our need for a relationship and a walk with Jesus Christ. The moment we begin to wander from Him and say, oh yeah, the devotions, they're important, but I'll just skip it today. I have too many things to do. I have projects to do at home. Friends, you're opening the door to fear. Because you're stepping away from God. And the moment we step away from God and our relationship, it's not gone. Yes, we still have the Father-Son relationship, but it's not as close as it should be. And all of a sudden, fear starts opening up the door and creeping into our lives. Anxiety, worry, distress. Being alone produces fear. The knowledge and realization of God's presence brings peace, and fear comes to the child of God when he senses a separation from Christ. He may only realize the fear. That might be the only thing that he actually senses, not the separation from God. You know, he doesn't even realize. We don't even realize sometimes that we're getting away from God, and all of a sudden we start fearing. That ought to wake us up and say, hey, there's a problem here. Where have I gotten away from God? Because if fear is in my life, that means there's an absence of God. If fear is overwhelming me, where have I gotten away from God? And that should drive us back to Him on our knees. God, help me. God, strengthen me. God, be with me right now. Fear ought to drive us back to Jesus Christ. Point is, fear only comes when we are not by Christ's side, and fear ought to bring us close to God. That fear, that sense of it ought to bring us close to God. Sensing fear ought to tell us, get back to God. Isaiah 41 verse 10, I'm going to go over there. You don't have to go there, but I'm going to read it to you. Isaiah 41 verse 10, this is a great passage. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." That is the promise of God. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. So let's just think about that and flip that around to the other side of that coin. If I am fearing, where's the problem? God's with me. He's promised. Could it be that I'm not with Him? Could it be that I'm not spending the time with Him that I should be? Because if I am with Him, His promise is that I will not fear. He's with me. The world also brings fear. It's not just the sense of being alone, but also the world that brings tribulation and fear. If we look at verse 33, Jesus says, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." In the world ye shall have tribulation. Jesus reminds us of this in our passage in verse 33. You know, we cannot expect peace while clinging to this world and all that it offers. This world produces fear, anxiety, trouble, tribulation. This word tribulation literally means affliction and oppression, distress and trouble. Friends, our hope is not in anything this world can produce or offer. Our hope is in Jesus. But yet, we as God's children, often we cling to what this world offers more so than what God offers. I guarantee you tonight there are people concerned more about their stocks and the stock market than they are concerned about their walk with Jesus Christ. What's wrong there? They're clinging to this world. There are more people concerned about temporal things here tonight. I'm not talking about necessarily in this room, but I'm talking about in our world today. People concerned about temporal things more so than they are concerned about their walk with God. And friends, the world will produce only one thing, and that is tribulation that produces fear, worry, anxiety. Jesus says, "In the world, you will have tribulation." You know, we're aware of this now because coronavirus. We're aware of this because people are getting sick, because the media is telling us and informing us of the numbers and how many people are being infected by this around our nation. But may I submit to you that when everybody is healthy and things are back to normal, this world still will be producing tribulation. And the need that we have right now, the need that we are aware of right now, the peace of God that passes all understanding, this perfect peace that we're talking about here tonight, that need is just as real then as it is now. But I believe God is giving us a prime opportunity to become aware of that need. He's giving us a prime opportunity to say, "Wake up! You have a need.
That's good.
And it's the peace that I can give to you. It's the presence of myself with you." Friends, we need Jesus. This world brings tribulation, and only Jesus can bring hope. So that's what brings fear: separation from God and this world. But how do we apprehend this promised peace that Jesus says He will give to us? Well, first of all, you must believe Christ. In verse 31, he asked this question. Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe?" I ask you tonight, do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is in control? Do you believe that He knows what folks are going through tonight? Do you believe that He is Lord of all? Do you believe that He will provide all your needs for all of your needs? Peace begins by us following Christ, us believing Christ. When we believe Christ, that is the foundation to perfect peace. You must believe Christ. Believe that He is Lord of all. Believe that He is in control. Trust Him that He is in control. Friends, if you cannot trust Christ, you will never be able to access the peace that He gives. If you cannot trust that He is Lord of all, then you will not, as we heard this morning, cast all your care upon Him. You might cast some, but you won't cast all until you believe that He is Lord of all. He is in control. Do you believe? Number two, you must rest in Christ. Verse 33 says, "In me ye might have peace." Again, I refer to the passage we looked at this morning, 1 Peter 5, casting all our care upon Him. You know, I was thinking about this morning, thinking about it as I was, thinking over the message for tonight, but the illustration came to mind of a person skydiving or bungee jumping. You know, as that person is standing in the plane or on the platform, he has a decision. He's probably already made the decision if he is standing at that point. But he has a decision to trust or to not trust. I'll use the illustration of skydiving. He's standing on that platform of the plane. The door is open and he has a choice to make. Am I going to trust or am I not going to trust? Am I going to rest in the fact that this parachute on my back will work, will function, will open, and I'll be safe, or am I not going to trust? And again, if he's at that point, he's probably already made that decision. But when he jumps out of that plane, he is at that point when he is in the air, dropping towards the ground, he is at that point resting in his parachute. Because if that parachute doesn't open, he's dead. And friends, that is the type of rest we need to have in Jesus Christ. In Jesus, I take all control off of myself. You have everything. And if you don't come through, I'm done for. You have got to do what I need you to do. Rest. Rest in Jesus Christ. Genuine belief stimulates sincere rest. Complete rest. That's why we must believe Christ, because when we believe Christ, we will come to that point of complete rest. And if we are not at that point of complete rest, friends, where are we not believing Christ? Because there's some area where we're not trusting Him. But when we trust Him fully, we will rest in Him completely. This is not a rest that we're trying to attain or to work up or to muster. It is a rest from our innermost being. As we trust Christ and His control over all, Jesus says in verse 33, I'll say it again, I read it just a moment ago, "In me ye might have peace." In me you will have peace. If resting in Jesus tonight, you will have peace. That's a promise from Him. But again, flip that coin over. If not resting in Jesus, you will not have peace. If we do not follow Jesus in rest, we cannot expect to have the peace that He brings. D.L. Moody said, "Some people think God does not like to be troubled with our constant coming and asking. The way to trouble God is not to come at all." Friends, how many times have you come to this point where you know you should rest? And I don't know that it's because we're worried that God won't want us to come to Him, but we just don't come to Him. Instead, we place our care upon ourselves. We rest in our own strength. We rest in our own ability to provide, to protect. And in turn, we do not have perfect peace. In turn, we are troubled and anxious and bothered. We must rest in Jesus Christ. I want to go over very briefly to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and look at a few verses. Friday night, I preached to Reformers Unanimous via live stream, and we looked at these verses, but I want to look at them again tonight, verses 24 through 26, Matthew chapter 16. It says in verse 24, Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's a lot there in these verses that I just read, but I want to focus in on a couple things. First of all, we must deny ourselves if we're going to follow Jesus Christ. If we're going to rest in Him, we're going to trust in Him, we're going to be His disciple, we must deny ourselves. Why do I know that? Because Jesus said, deny yourself and follow me. This is a complete denying of self and our ability to do whatever we are supposed to do or think that we can do. Go down to verse 26. I wanted to look at this briefly too. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, there are many, many who have gained a lot in their life. Many who have gained a lot from this world. They have their retirement all set up. They have this all set up. They have that all set up. They are in charge. They are in control. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But friends, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? My point is simply this. In order to rest in Jesus Christ, to have complete rest in Him, we must deny self. We must deny all that this world has to offer, because that is where true peace comes. We can gain everything. We can gain health. We can gain popularity. We can gain wealth. We can gain everything this world can give to us. But if we don't have rest in Jesus Christ, we don't have the peace that He brings, what are we really gaining? I'm here to tell you, nothing. We're gaining nothing if we do not have the peace of God in our hearts. So we must rest in Christ. You must believe Christ, you must rest in Christ, but thirdly, you must detach from this world. Verse 33 again, verse 33 of John chapter 16. In the world ye shall have tribulation. If the world brings turmoil and distress, how can we expect peace while clinging so closely to it? There are things we need to give up tonight. Some forms of entertainment, wrong influences, thought processes that are from this world, things that enable us to be selfish or that feed our carnal self, our carnal flesh. Why do we need to give up these things? Because we are so quick to protect our possessions, so quick to protect those things. And because we're quick to protect those things, we fail to protect our walk with Jesus Christ. And friends, I'm here to tell you that if we're clinging to the world, we cannot cling to Christ. We cannot cling to both at the same time. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and this world. You cannot cling to God and this world. We're going to cling to one or the other. And if we're clinging to the things that this world can give to us, this world can offer us, and those things are more important to us than clinging to God, then we're going to lose something in our walk with God. We're going to miss something in our walk with God. And I'd submit to you that we're going to miss the peace that God can bring to our hearts when we cling to this world. Friends, we must detach from being so close to this world. It can never satisfy and will, in fact, continually drain us of the peace of God. Jesus says, in the world, you will have tribulation. You will have distress. But I love His words at the end of verse 33, I have overcome the world. These are the words of Christ found at the end of verse 33. These are the words of our Savior and Lord. These are the words of Almighty God. I have overcome the world. Amen. Yes, the world's going to bring you tribulation. Yes, the world's going to produce anxiety in your heart. Yes, the world's going to take and destroy and demolish, produce sickness, disease, but I have overcome the world. We can have joy and peace no matter what the situation is, because God is in control. Until we believe that, it will make no change in our outlook on life. The reality remains the same no matter what. But until we believe Jesus, until we trust in Him and rest in Him fully, until we detach from this world, it will make no practical change in our outlook on life. Friends, we must come to those three points where we believe Jesus. Yes, Jesus, you are in control. Where we rest in Him. And where we detach from what this world can give to us and offer us, because it will only give to us tribulation. But God has overcome the world. We must rest in Him. When we do believe that Christ is in complete control, that should bring us to a perfect rest in Him and give us the peace that He promises. The world will distract and keep our focus from being on Christ. The world will bring tribulation and worry to us. Therefore, we must not cling to it, but rather cling to Christ. Ask Christ for His daily peace and for a daily close relationship with Him. Could I point our attention back to verse 24 of our chapter, John chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus, again speaking, says, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in My name. Ask, and ye shall receive. Why? That your joy may be full."
That's good.
Friends, the worry's not going to go away. The fear's not going to go away. It's all around us. But as I mentioned earlier, faith is not the absence of fear. It is the presence of a stronger trust in a greater God. The answer is for us to go to Him each morning, perhaps each hour, perhaps each moment, and say, "God, please give me Your peace." Why? That my joy may be full. He came to give us fullness of joy. That's what He wants us to have. And when we ask, Him for that, and we receive the joy that He gives, it is at this point that we will fully hear the words of Jesus here at the end of chapter 16, "I have overcome the world." It is at this point that we can, by faith, have perfect peace. Not in the comfortable situation of life, because that's not here right now, but rather in Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Perfect peace. It's available for each of us here tonight, but we must choose. We must choose to believe Jesus, to rest in Jesus, and to stop clinging to the world and rather cling to Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your challenge to us tonight. I pray that we, as Your children and as Your people, as Your church, would rest and have the perfect peace that You promised to each one of us. Lord, take away the worry and the fear and the anxiety from our hearts. And Lord, as You said in verse 24 there, we're asking, I'm asking on behalf of this church, asking for myself and for each member of this church, that You would bring us the peace of God into our hearts that passes all understanding, a peace that this world cannot give, a peace that we cannot manufacture, we cannot attain on our own. God, I'm asking for it tonight, that You would fill each of our hearts with it. Pray these things in Your name. Amen.